Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Chapter 2, book of Acts, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, the word that Peter had preached, was baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Today there seems to be a lot of confusion about what a New Testament church really is. Now, my people, I believe a New Testament church is a group of baptized believers who have united their hearts, their lives, their time, their talent in the service of Almighty God, witnessing to the world that Jesus saves and taking Jesus to those that have him not. But today, our churches all over the world have become social centers, recreational parlors, places of debate and disagreement, and everything but what the New Testament or church ought to really be. And I may be wrong because I look at the Bible differently than many others do. But the Word of God tells us that after Jesus ascended into heaven, and after they were standing there looking up into the skies, and they had been told that this same Jesus which had been taken from them would come again in a likewise fashion, they went to the upper room. And they gathered together the believers as they worshiped and prayed and waited upon God to see what he would do. And the Word of God says in chapter 1, I believe, of the book of Acts, that there was about 120 souls gathered in that upper room. And I like to believe that the beginning of that New Testament church perhaps started right there in that upper room. Peter and John made a trip to the temple, and a lame man was there who sought to receive gifts that they might give. And you remember they said that silver and gold had they none, but such as they had, they would give unto him. And they said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And you know, the lame man was made to be healed. And my people, the ministry of the church is to teach the world the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is Jesus saves. And Jesus saves because God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten son, that if you and I would believe in him, we would have the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing of our lives, eternal and everlasting life, and one great, wonderful, marvelous day in the realms of heaven, together we would all be and enjoy that life together. The New Testament church, what is its purpose? To carry the gospel to the whole world. And you know, during this particular time, Southern Baptists are involved in bold missions for the Lord Jesus Christ, in bold giving, in bold praying, in bold serving. And it was because one day Jesus, as his few disciples was gathered together, gave them a commission. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. As we read verses 18 and 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And as Jesus gave this command unto his people, he was telling them, let no barrier stand between you and man and God. Don't worry about the color of their skin. Don't worry about the knowledge of their mind. Don't worry about the richness that they have as far as wealth is concerned. If they know not Jesus, go to all the world and tell them the story that Jesus saves. In the early beginning, and here again I may be presuming, I believe their ministry was from house to house, from doorstep to doorstep, from man on the street to man upon the street. Wherever they came in contact with man, they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a closer walk with thee. That's what they was telling the world, that they was having a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I believe really the best policy, and this was the policy that they was teaching in 1954, and I believe it's as good today as it was then, and it was marvelous at that particular time, that women went to win women to the Lord Jesus Christ, and men went to win men to the Lord Jesus Christ, and young people went to win young people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many, many times we overlap, but individually, one by one, we ought to be going out and telling people about Jesus. One of the greatest blessings that's come to this church, and most of you don't know anything about it, and probably not even really concerned about it, is that 8 of our people, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, decided that our shut-ins and those that physically was unable to come to church ought to still know what's going on at Crystal Valley Baptist Church. They ought to know that they was loved and that they was cared for. And the Sunday school material and the training union material and all the other kinds of material we have been taken to them. Tapes of the messages of the pastor, of the music director, of the children singing, of the choirs in their cantata has been taken to them. Even down to the announcements we make that they can honestly feel that they're part of the church called Crystal Valley Baptist Church. And my people, we have only one purpose in the world. And our purpose is not majoring on youth activities. And our purpose is not majoring on music of the church. And our purpose ought not to be majored on having the best facilities that there are in Great Little Rock. Our purpose in existing ought to be firstfold and above all things that men through us might know about Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I was ignorant about Jesus for 29 years. And the main reason I believe I was ignorant was that very few, if any, cared to tell me about Jesus. They cussed me. They called me a drunkard. I was the wrong type of person to associate with. But they never had time to tell me that Jesus loved me and that Jesus would change my life. And the purpose of the New Testament church, the reason I believe for its beginning, is that we rise up as men of God. And when I say men of God, I'm speaking about men, women, boys, and girls. And tell the world that all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And my people, when we tell them and live a life that backs what we tell them, they will listen. And men will come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. What kind of power does the church have? the Holy Spirit should be the power of the church. But you know, we've changed all of that. Men and women teach every Sunday that do not pray and ask God to bless their efforts. And I'm not talking particularly about Crystal Valley Baptist Church. I hope that every one of our teachers do teach in the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. But all over the world, there are men and women in the church field that are more dependent upon making themselves recognized than they are upon the world knowing about Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit doesn't add to that kind of blessings. But my people, let me tell you something. Our church needs to be functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit of God and not under some power that man might think that he's dreamed up himself. You know, certainly at times men have the ability with the words that they say, they can drum up a crowd. And they can get them to where they become a riot, you know, instead of a crowd. And so many times that's what happens in a church. They get on a spiritual high, but they don't really have Jesus Christ way down deep in their heart. And we try to work and move in our own power. I'll never forget that first morning in Honduras. I went to bed very late, and Herbert went to bed later than I did. And I started to the bathroom, and I looked out on the veranda or the porch or whatever you want to call it. There Herb was talking to God, just breaking daylight, asking God to empower him that day he might move mountains for God. And my people, we need to get in that spirit where the mountains that we're trying to move and the obstacles that we're trying to overcome would be for God's glory, not our recognition. For God's glory, not our special attainments. And my people, today we need to be working under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will glorify only one. And that's Jesus Christ that thrills our soul. Holy Spirit's not going to glorify you and me. He's going to glorify God. Peter that day preached a very short sermon. And 3,000 souls made decisions for Jesus. My people, let me tell you something. God promised if you and I went under His leadership that He would put the words in our mouth. And He promised us that He would provide food for our bellies and clothes for our backs. And God said, if you will go, I will give you every place that your foot trods. Now, He made that to the prophets of old, but His promises are still to you and I. And one reason that you and I are not conquering and you and I are not winning is that perhaps too often we go out that somebody might see us and somebody might be pleased by the things that we do. What about the testimony of the church? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I kneel and pray, I talk to Jesus. I know He's alive. He lives within my heart. This morning, before 7 o'clock, one of our deacons had come, and we fell on our knees here in the front of the sanctuary. And we lifted up unto God our petitions. And our testimony was that Jesus saves. And the Word of God said these people moved and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit began to do so many things, and fear came upon every soul. and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The message was backed up by the changed life. The message that they preached was the same message that they lived as they tried to glorify God in their life. My people, I want you to believe tonight that God never promised anybody in the Old Testament days or anybody in the early New Testament days anything that He won't make to us if we go out and work and serve. The members of that great group of people, what about them? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. They all believed together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided it amongst the men. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They was praising God and having favor with all people. And today, the reason that Christians are not having favor with all people is that on Monday through Saturday, they're not living like they talk and act on Sunday. That Monday through Saturday, men and women who claim to be Christians are of the world and in the world and living for the world. But this group of people that was called the New Testament church of their day, with one accord, believing as one, went everywhere in fellowship with mankind, their own and those they hoped to make brothers in Christ. Shared the bread. I don't guess they had Social Security. I don't guess they had old age pension. Those that had divided with those that had not. And the Word of God says that fear came upon every soul, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They stood by each other in every need that they had. They weren't ashamed to praise Jesus. It used to bother me. If I was leading the singing, I knew I didn't know nothing about singing. It bothered me if the preacher said, now if we have 100 in Sunday school, Brother Ed's going to sing a solo. And I'd look up there and he had 102, and I knew, you know, but I'm going to tell you something now. I don't care what it is. I'll attempt it for Jesus Christ. He'll glorify himself within our. He don't ask for more than we've got to offer. He asks us to give him the best that we have. And if our best is the least that anybody else possesses, God will magnify the least and will make it great. And I'm going to tell you, there's no soul in this house that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor and glorify Him that will go out to tell the world about Jesus that God's going to forsake. I guarantee you. God's going to walk with you. God's going to bless you. Now, that don't mean every place you go that they're going to make decisions. And I'm going to tell you this. You'll be sowing some seed. Or you'll be watering the seed. Or you'll be cultivating the field. That some of the laborers that walk behind shall reap the harvest that God has allowed us to have. What is the glory of the church? I want you to know my heart is saddened. And nobody understands the way I say things. All the churches today, if you don't have air conditioning, you ain't got nobody. I get hot. I like air conditioning. But I'm going to tell you this. If I have to, I'll worship where there is no air conditioning. The finest facilities and the best things. Now, there's nothing too good for God. Understand that. But I'm telling you, too many churches are building the buildings that they have to glorify man and not to glorify God. And too many people today are making their choice in joining the church as to what kind of facilities they have over whether or not God is blessing and using the church, or whether that group of people love and honor one another and praise God. I want you to believe with all your heart. Just the old padded seat there is not going to glorify God at all. It's when some lost soul sits in that padded seat and his heart is touched by the witness that you've given, the song that's sung, the prayer that's prayed, the message that's preached, and declares his or her faith in one called Jesus Christ. Then Jesus is glorified here upon earth. God's word says the joy bells in heaven will ring and the angels begin to sing. But for many churches, the glory has departed. You see, God has almost been caused to leave because man seeks to exalt himself and not to exalt God. But God has saved us and changed us and blessed our lives. And the church, created and established by God, was to glorify him and to tell all men that Jesus saved.